Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the U.S. Experience 1877 podcast. My name is Niall Cronin, and in this edition, I'll be covering the three most prominent Confederate raids that took place in the Hoosier State. While a lot of fighting went on in Indiana throughout the Civil War, Newburgh Raid, Morgan's Raid, and Hines Raid were influential for a few reasons. First, they were all planned to be espionage missions, and no actual fighting was intended. Second was the sheer destruction and terrorization in the state by these Confederate soldiers. And finally, Brigadier General John Hunt Morgan's raid specifically was actually against the orders of General Robert E. Lee. These factors combined to create an interesting story and sequence of events within the state and other Midwestern areas as well. The claim I am making regarding these raids has to do with the outcomes of each. While each raid successfully completed their objectives of reconnaissance and later purposeful chaos, in the grand scheme of things, the South ended up losing the war. I claim that if things could have ended up differently towards the end of the war in favor of the Confederates, then most people would point out these raids as a major catalyst in that regard. Newburgh Raid occurred in Newburgh, Indiana, on July 18, 1862. Led by Confederate Colonel Adam Rankin Johnson, a force of about 35 men marched into town and captured it. Johnson had his men set up a perimeter while he went into town and let them know that if they do not surrender, the town will be blown to pieces by his cannons. He even went so far as to offer his own periscope to the Union major in charge to look at the weaponry pointed at his town. They were forced to let Johnson and his men do as they pleased without a fight. He took medical supplies, commissary items, and arms for 200 soldiers with him. The next day, he ordered the town to be patrolled by his men as he went back to Kentucky. Johnson had successfully captured the first Union town for the Confederates. This was an immense accomplishment. It allowed the Confederates to have a foothold in the North and continue on strongly. With the South now in control of a northern town, more raids in the area were planned. On June 10, 1863, Thomas Hines began an exploratory mission that preceded Morgan's raid in an attempt to clear the way and gain intelligence on how he could attack later. Once Hines and his men crossed the Ohio River into Indiana, they successfully posed as Union soldiers until reaching Paoli. They had previously stolen these uniforms in Kentucky with hopes of infiltrating the local anti-war group known as the Copperheads. The Copperheads were a northern group who opposed the war and wanted an immediate peace agreement with the Confederates. As it turned out, their stealth became compromised and they were driven out of the state before they could receive any kind of help or interaction with the Copperheads. Hines regrouped with Morgan, reported the news, and they began to plan Morgan's raid. After strategizing together, the raid began on June 11, 1863. After they caused heaps of trouble and terror through Tennessee and Kentucky, Morgan and his men crossed the Ohio River into Indiana with two stolen steamboats that were loaded with artillery. Initially, they were met by Union forces, but were able to fight their way north. Indiana Governor Oliver P. Morton worked quickly to put together a militia in fear that Morgan's forces would be too strong. In fact, the Union was dreading the arrival of Morgan so much that even Cincinnati began putting together a militia to prepare for Morgan's raid. In a newspaper article from the Daily Cleveland Herald, there includes an excerpt from the Cincinnati Gazette informing the city that preparations should be made at once to crush the marauders and provide adequate measures of defense. People were preparing for the worst. As it turned out, though, parts of southern Indiana were not scared. In fact, many were in favor of the Confederates due to family ties to the South or other reasons. As Alan Keller writes in his book, Morgan's Raid, upon Morgan's arrival to Indiana, there was not much resistance at all. It was so calm that it might have been a village in Alabama or Georgia. Upon moving just a few miles to the north and east, things became much more hostile. Each town they entered, Morgan would lay siege and parole the citizens. On top of this, he taxed them ridiculous amounts of money in order to spare their lives. As he continued on, the rebels burned and looted each town they passed through simply for the goal of striking fear and destruction in the enemy. They even took 2,000 hams on their way to Ohio. The efforts of the raiders were most definitely successful at the time. Colonel Basil Duke noted after the chaos, the objects of the raid were accomplished. The Confederates all believed it was a job well done, and it truly was, even despite the fact that they eventually forced to surrender. The biggest reason for these raids was to draw attention of as many Union forces as possible. It worked. Morgan tried to occupy the attention of the Union while Lee was fighting at Gettysburg. Had Lee been able to defeat the Union forces, we may be looking at a very different country today. That is why my claim stands as stated. These raids throughout Indiana and the Midwest had so many possible implications that it is impossible to ignore them. Had the South won, many would look at the Confederates' efforts in pillaging and looting as the biggest reason why. Instead, these raids have fallen through the cracks and gone unnoticed. Thanks for tuning in. This is Niall Cronin signing off.